And welcome back to the House of Wellness. Now, I think it's safe to say that every one of us has a busy life, but we're not alone on this one. Australians are working longer hours and are finding it harder than ever to switch off at the end of the day. So not only that, on average, Australian adults sit for around 9 hours a day, 9 hours every day. And I think it's pretty reasonable to say that for a lot of people, the first thing that gets put on the back burner is that exercise, right? So with that in mind, how can your average Joe stay fit when they've got such a busy schedule? Gian, Xander's turning two, like very, very soon, right?
Yep.
You haven't had a swim in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You've decided you're allergic to chlorine. You'll never go in the pool again. What's happening for you fitness-wise?
Well, as I said, I was very, very naive as to how hard it is to keep exercise into your life when it's not your job. I was so naive. I honestly thought you just, what are these people talking about? You get up an hour earlier in the morning or you go during your lunch break or after work, just fit it in. I mean, it's an important part of life. After 12 years, I should say, of being an elite athlete, completely naive, once you get busy, things come into your life, you have different priorities, different perspectives on things, how do you fit exercise into your life? And I had no idea how to do exercise for health either, for health reasons rather than for a career. So I quite struggled in that transition period. Now for me, I really had to find exercise that I enjoyed, that didn't feel like a job.
That's key.
That's why I don't swim. Yeah. So for me, it was about finding something that didn't feel like exercise, that felt enjoyable, a mind release, and was working on my health at the same time.
Yeah. Michelle, many thousands of people are coming to you for advice. And I reckon one of the biggest excuses you would hear for why don't you exercise is, I ain't got no time.
I don't have enough time. Yeah. I don't have enough time. I hear it all the time. Yeah. And let me say this very clearly. President Obama trains between 5 to 6 times a week. Now, call me old-fashioned. I'm figuring a president of the United States a little busy.
Mm.
The last several of our prime ministers have all exercised as well. I'm figuring they're going to be pretty busy too.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you're busier than the president of the United States, I'm struggling.
Okay.
But
good example.
But that
remember we used to see John Howard running around too.
Exactly.
In that very, very sexy tracksuit.
In his tracksuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Abbott
but
in that, the
I mean, I hear what you're saying, Gian, and I totally get it. I'm a pretty busy person too, and I need to, the time won't fall into my lap. I actually have to schedule the time. I've got to make it. Mm-hmm. So I think a consistent time slot really does help people. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like myself, it's got a busy job that sort of goes all over the place, then it's a little bit tougher. You've got to be very, you know, strict on your timelines. But if you've got a job that allows you to have a consistent time slot, take it. Consistency rules. A morning time slot gets the monkey off your back. So once life begins, the phones, the kids, the work, the career, the family, you know, that's when you can get dragged away from your time slot, from your training. So get it done, I think, early in the morning before that all starts. So set your alarm clock earlier and go to bed. Stop watching TV and trawling the internet. Go to bed. It's going to get you forward into the goals that you're looking for. Don't overthink it. Turn your head off. Don't buy into overthinkers.com or have paralysis by analysis. Get your shoes on and just walk out the door. Again, get off Facebook. How much time do you spend on Facebook? If you took all of that time, I bet you anything you'd be able to find time to do 10 push-ups at least.
Right. So you are talking about devoted exercise sessions, but what about incidental movement as well? People are discovering the benefits of walking up the stairs.
Yes, I'm a big believer in this.
Yes.
I call this
formal activity, which is going to the gym or going to a tennis game or going to your personal trainer, and then informal activity, taking the stairs, walking to the bus stop, or you know, getting off the bus 2 stops early, helping someone to move house. That is the best exercise.
What?
When someone asks you to help them, just say yes. Anything that you can do to get activity, you know, getting off your seat every hour. I set an alarm on my clock if I'm going to be writing a book, say, and I'm on my computer for hours and hours and hours. I set my alarm every hour. I have to get up and go for a walk around the house.
Do you know what I love so much? Seeing people work really, really hard at getting the closest parking spot to the gym.
I know, right?
I've got to get so close to you. All right.
That's
now,
funny.
I'm going to read you an email that we received a little earlier in the week. It comes from Mark. He says, I'm a man in my 50s who's a little bit overweight. I want to be active, but I have a bad back and some shoulder issues. It means I can't play golf anymore. That's obviously the thing he loved to do, probably why I've stacked on some weight. So what kind of exercises should I do? Michelle.
Look, I always say, if you have a car – you will spend money on servicing that car, right? Because you want to look after it. It's exactly the same with your body times 100, because your car will come and go. Your body is it. This is what you have for life. So a little bit of investment, whether that be an investment in time or whether that even be a little bit of an investment financially, getting someone to help you out to understand exercise, like a personal trainer or a Pilates class or a yoga class, or, you know, just gentle exercise, investing your own time by going for a walk, going for a swim, Gian. That'd be great for back and shoulders.
Absolutely.
Again, it's about, you know, where does it sit on your priorities and how much do you want to invest into your future?
Yeah. And Mark, I'm a man in my 50s who found himself a little bit overweight a year or so ago. And I just started moving gently, got some advice. I also had bad back and bad shoulders. It's about starting to move and then easing yourself into it. Don't go into the gym like you think you're a 25-year-old throwing things around.
Exactly.
Just take it easy.
And then, Mark, you too can grace the cover of a magazine looking as amazing as Larry
oh,
did.
Yes.
Aren't you wonderful?
Oh,
yes.
We need to bring that picture in next time
yes.
we get to.
Yes, thank goodness we're on radio, so we don't have to, our listeners don't have to have a look at that.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Metamucil, rediscover your mojo and feel lighter in just 2 weeks. And Bbox, refining the essentials, putting the fun into functional.
Hope you're getting lots from the show this morning. I said a little earlier that we had a lot of listener feedback through the emails. Now, if you want your email answered on air, it's easy to send it in. All you got to do is go to thehouseofwellnessradio.com.au and click on the feedback icon. It is as easy as that. First question comes from Dan. He writes, what are some good supplements for runners? Everyone, Michelle, is looking for something additional, something a little bit more nowadays.
Yeah, well, you can actually help your running with a couple of different supplements, actually. Distance runners, a little bit of creatine can definitely help with endurance. Glucosamine for joints. I like vitamin C as an overall, you know, just an absolute winner. Vitamin C, there's so much research that's been done on it, and it can in protecting our health from cardiovascular disease, cancer, stroke, eye health, just living longer. So get some vitamin C in. Fish oil is fantastic for joints, and I would definitely recommend iron, particularly for the ladies and also particularly if you are a bit of a distance runner.
Okay. I love all those fancy pants ones. It's still nice to hear vitamin C getting a run.
Vitamin C, man.
Old school.
I recommend it for everyone.
All right. Next question is from Erin. And Erin says, I'm the worst at keeping to an exercise routine. I do 3 sessions until I'm sick of it. I've gone through 4 gym memberships in 3 years. This sounds so much like me, guys. Working out makes me more tired than energized. How do I stay motivated? Gian, what do you think? Because I reckon you got to crack that first 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, because that's when you start feeling good.
I completely agree with you, Larry. But again, coming from my own personal experience, I really struggled to find something outside of being an athlete and swimming and my job and understanding how it worked. Motivation was very easy when I was a swimmer.
Right.
Motivation is the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, the World Championships, your major competition of the year. What's your motivation when you're an everyday person and you're not seeing results sometimes for 5 or 6 weeks? You've really got to work hard until that 5 or 6 week mark. So for me, once again, find something that you enjoy doing that doesn't ring the bell straight away of I'm going to exercise, because that can put people off, as Michelle said. The second one as well is figure out what works for you. I started doing reformer Pilates when I finished swimming, and I was there 5 or 6 days a week until my instructor finally said, Gian, there is no Pilates Olympics. You can calm it down, tone it down, okay?
And too much, I can see
it. Exactly, and that was me, you know, hardcore, right, I've got to do it, this is the only way I know
how. You're not going to get a gold medal here.
So all of a sudden, by her saying that, and I, you know, just brought it back to 2 sessions a week, meant that my love for it was a much more prolonged experience rather than going something hardcore straight off the bat.
You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy it. Michelle, we are going to move on, but I'm really interested in your favourite motivational catchphrase.
Oh, the motivation's like a bad boyfriend, never there when you need them.
Love it.
Love it.
It's so true. I wrote that in my first book and I stand by it still like 10 years later.
Love it. All right. Now, we've got a couple of nutrition-related emails in that we wanted to get some backup on. So joining us on the line now to expand our brain's trust is Kristen Beck. Hello, Kristen. Good morning.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Now, this email comes from Renee, and Renee says, are certain foods more likely to cause bloating? I swell up with every meal. Then importantly, Renee has put a sad face after that.
Well, Renee, look, bloating is really, really common. The thing about Renee's email question, though, is that she's bloating after every meal. So obviously you know, we do need to look at what it is that's actually causing the bloating. However, because it's in every meal, it's more likely that it might be more of a digestive bacteria upset rather than a particular problematic food. So first off, you would actually be looking at, you know, trying to keep a diary of what foods she's eating and if there are different times where she's actually bloating all of the time or if she just feels like that. But if it's all of the time, you would be looking more at feeding your digestive bacteria, so your good beneficial bacteria that should be helping you to digest your food.
Yeah.
That's going to be much more helpful. So you're going to do that by eating plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables, lean meats, those sorts of foods, healthy whole grain foods, nut seeds, giving your digestive system the best possible chance to get healthy would be definitely your first port of call there. And then maybe looking at some probiotics as well. So you know, whether it's that be in supplement form, or also the other really trendy thing to do at the moment is the fermented foods, which is great, but just if you're going to get into the fermented foods, sauerkraut, the kombucha, that sort of thing, very, very cool, but do it properly, because you can certainly, if you don't do it properly, you can certainly look at some awful cases of food poisoning.
Wow, so. And the makers of sauerkraut are going, we're finally cool. People are calling us cool.
I hate to sound boring here, just want to chime in. Exercise really does help here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
And the other one, was also just how we need to just bear in mind too, Renee might be a very, very small kind of girl and it might just be the amount of bloating is actually just the amount of food in her digestive system.
So. Now, Kristen, really quickly, we've got to ask you about sugar. Do we need to be removing it altogether from our diets? Because that's kind of impossible, but that's what some people are saying.
Look, it's not the big bad demon that was made out to be. The problem with sugars is because it's added to everything. If you're adding a little bit of sugar to your coffee or those sorts of things, you're aware of what you're taking in, but it's those mindless amounts of sugar that's going into your really highly processed foods that are going to be much more problematic. All so, you know, and also just being really careful of some of the healthy alternatives too. Because sometimes they're not as good.
I need to add sugar to my sauerkraut. It's the only way I can get through it. Kristen, thank you very much for your time this morning. Great to chat to you.
Great to chat to you guys. Thanks.
Back right after this.